Welcome back to the Around the Diamond podcast with your host, Sam Edwards, episode 208, the podcast for the baseball nerd. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. We're covering all the latest news, baby, and I'm also giving you my biggest disappointing trade deadlines, my biggest losers of the trade deadline. There's a lot of teams to go over. It was a disappointing trade deadline overall, but for these teams especially, I think they should have done much more. And mainly that they're the big losers for me. Biggest losers overall. All right, let's get into the news of the weekend. Tim Anderson versus Jose Ramirez. A little crazy. Jose Ramirez slides hard into second base. Tim Anderson apparently tagged him, you know, a little roughly at second base. Ramirez was safe, and Ramirez didn't like Anderson's tag for some reason. There's definitely a lot of history behind this situation. Pushes him a little bit, points at his head a little bit, don't know what he says. And then Anderson puts up his fists like he's ready to freaking go at it. So Ramirez puts up his fists like he's ready to go at it. Anderson takes the first hit, kind of misses. They start going for it. Ramirez is basically closing his eyes and just throwing. You know what he kind of looked like was You ever seen the Zack Snyder Justice League movie or any of the Justice League, the newest one, Flash running in slow motion, the weird way they have his arms moving? That was kind of Jose Ramirez during this fight, just kind of closing his eyes and throwing his arms out there. And he happens to catch the right hook right on Tim Anderson's face, and Anderson goes down. Crazy fight, crazy situation. Tim Anderson, obviously a very outspoken player, loves to slam his bat even when it's not a walk-off homer. He's also had a terrible season so far, so we haven't seen a lot of that showboating because it took him forever to even hit his first homer this season. I've always liked Tim Anderson to a certain extent. I think he's a lot of fun, and I think he's also good for the game. I think Jose Ramirez got very lucky with this right hook. There's no shot. He's just throwing his arms out there, like I said, and he just happens to catch Tim Anderson. I don't think this is fantastic fighting form from Jose Ramirez. I also think that Tim Anderson started it. I was surprised by the suspensions that were given out. They were just announced today. Tim Anderson gets 6 games, and Ramirez gets 3 games, along with a couple other people getting fines or 1 game suspended. Ramirez and Anderson are both appealing these suspensions, so they'll still play until their appeals are up. I am surprised at how few games each were given. I feel like lately MLB has kind of been dishing out more harder suspensions lately. But I was surprised with how few it was. But I agree with the games given in that Anderson should get much more than Ramirez did. You could argue Ramirez instigated it. By having a problem with Anderson and making it known. But Anderson putting his fists up is probably where you draw the line, especially if you're the league. If I'm the league looking at that going, oh, we can't have this. You know, it's going to turn into mayhem if we allow this to just slip by. Six games, is that really that big of a deal for Tim Anderson, for the White Sox? Does that really do anything? I don't know. I think that's a little light. I probably would have gone double digits personally. Jose Ramirez, 3 games. Honestly, I thought it was going to be like Anderson gets 12 games, Ramirez gets 6. That's what I thought it was going to be for how big this brawl was and for how blatant it was that they were just ready to put their fists up and go at it. I'm okay with it, honestly. I'm okay with a lighter suspension. It's not the worst thing in the world. For me as a baseball fan, there's a little downside. Trying to look at this from the league's perspective, I would think they would come down harder on both players just because of how blatant it was and that it, like, Anderson didn't play Sunday. He also didn't talk to the media, which I wasn't exactly a fan of, but I don't hate him for. I don't think that's, oh, you got no balls, face the media. I think he should face the media, but maybe give him time. Some of his tweets have been a little wild. It seems like he's been fairly emotional after this. He's always kind of run on his emotions from my point of view, just in general. So it kind of tracks with his Twitter. If you just want to look at some of the tweets he's been just throwing out there and some of the deleted tweets, it makes sense. It makes sense for Tim Anderson. He kind of runs on his feelings, his emotions a lot. So it kind of makes sense that he would do this, but also at the same time, I wish he was willing to go back out there and play on Sunday and face the media and talk it out and talk about what the problems were. Jose faced the media with his interpreter, which he always does. But he basically said he didn't like Tim Anderson and hadn't liked him for a long time. And this is kind of just like the outcome of that. I like that Ramirez faced the media, that he was ready to talk about it. He was ready to face the questions that would be asked. I mean, Jose is a clear winner after this scenario just because of that right hook. But I don't necessarily think Anderson was a loser. I just think it was not even because of the situation, but more about his reaction to the situation that has kind of made it bad for him and made me just lose a little bit of respect for him. Because what are we doing here, you know? He puts his dukes up. He's ready to go. And, yeah, he gets knocked out. And I'm sure that is so tough to go through and tough to come back from. I don't think 24 hours. Well, you know, I think he could have faced the media. I think he should be mature enough to face the media. But I just think that he should be, I don't know. I just didn't really like his reaction that much. I thought it could have been much better. Much better. All right. That's basically it. That's basically it for that scenario. Let's get into some injuries real quick. We've got some big players not suspended but injured. First off, Carlos Rodon on the IL with a strained hamstring strain. Don't know how long this is going to be, but this absolutely sucks for the Yankees' newly signed big number two pitcher. He's been injured for vast majority of the season. It's been rough to watch. When he came back, he started off a little rough, but then settled in back to the Rodon we were expecting. And now he's back on the IL, which absolutely sucks for the Yankees. They might be mentioned later in the pod, but, you know, we'll see. But it sucks either way for Rodon. Obviously, they didn't know he was going to get injured before the trade deadline. No way you could prepare for that, really. Unless you want to argue that they could have bought more pitchers anyways, despite still having Carlos Rodon at the time. But that's neither here nor there. Carlos Rodon getting injured with a hamstring strain sucks for baseball. So I'm bummed. I'm bummed. I don't know how long this is going to take him out, but I feel like this is going to be substantial enough. And maybe at this point, do you really hold him back to make sure that he doesn't really hurt himself more? Thankfully, it's not his arm. It's not his left arm. So we're okay there. But a hamstring could still take you out for a good minute. So And the Yankees have a big investment in Carlos Rodon and his future. He's always struggled to stay on the field, so this just sucks even more. It sucks for the Yankees, who have struggled with injuries all season. Not great. Not great. Some good news, though, is John Singleton getting called up by the Houston Astros. If that name sounds familiar, that is because he was one of their top prospects back when George Springer was first coming onto the scene way back. I can remember reading about him in Sports Illustrated when Sports Illustrated predicted that the Astros were going to win the World Series. This is back when the Astros were absolutely terrible. They had just recently moved into the AL West, and Singleton was one of their top prospects, first baseman, power type. He struggled mightily, left the game, and then came back. The Brewers signed him, and they got him in their minor league system. He hit very well as he was climbing their ranks, and then got moved over to the Houston Astros midseason. I covered it earlier this season, but he's had time there. He's had 148 plate appearances in their AAA system, hitting very well, 12 homers over that span, a 17.6 walk percentage, and a 23K percentage. He's hitting 333, 446, 692, good for a 163 runs created plus in AAA for the Houston Astros. I'm super curious to see how he's going to do in the majors. He had a little cup of coffee with the Brewers earlier this season, only 11 games. He hit terrible, and striking out a lot. So it's, I'm curious to see what we get with Singleton. His walk percentage is obviously crazy good, and he still has the power. But I'm not crazy confident he's going to come up and dominate for the Astros, but it's possible. And I just think it's more of a great story that he's found himself back with the team that drafted him, and hoping to make a big impact on this team that is still trying to get first place in their division. That's still a battle with the Rangers. And if Singleton could come up and be a little spark on this team, and the team that, you know, believed in him years ago, it'd be really cool. It'd be really, really cool. And, you know, I'm curious. I'm curious, man. I just don't think it's going to happen, though. I mean, he struggled so much in the majors. His K percentage just balloons up into the 30% whenever he gets in the majors, looking at his history. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, he's hopefully maturing as a hitter, and maybe the K percentage can go down a little bit. I mean, 23% with Houston in AAA is not terrible at all. If it goes up to 28%, maybe 27% might be realistic. It's mainly about if he's going to make enough contact. Right now, with Houston and AAA, his batting average on balls in play, his BABIP, is crazy high and much higher than his career average. So I definitely don't believe in a 333 average, but the walk percentage is so good that maybe he can hit 250 with a really good on base and still make enough contact for that power to play. That's the hope with Singleton right now. So we'll see. I'm optimistic, though. I'm hopeful that he can come up and, you know, provide a little value for them, especially with Jose Abreu not performing as well as they expected and as I expected when they signed him. He hasn't been terrible now, but my gosh, did he start off slow and still hasn't been the Jose Abreu that we expected him to be. So we shall see if John Singleton can come up, light a fire under these Astros, and go take the division. I don't know if I believe in Singleton, but I do believe in the Astros, and I think this good of a team can only energize a guy like Singleton. So we'll see. We shall see. Some more bad news. Josh Jung has fractured his left thumb from a 109.4 mile per hour liner from Jorge Soler. Ridiculous. Fractures his left thumb. If surgery is needed, we're looking at possibly the end of his season, at least 6 to 8 weeks, most likely. It's really rough. Jung obviously has had an amazing season with the Rangers. performing incredibly well at third base for them. And it's just really, really disappointing to see him go down like this. And yeah, it's just rough, man. For a team like the Rangers, who are really, like I said, battling the division with the Astros, they really need a guy like Jung, who's just performed so well for them. One of their best hitters this season, rocketing a 122 runs created plus. The power has been great. K percentage is still a little high for him, 29.3%. But 215 ISO, he's hitting 274, 323, and 489 on the season. Really sucks to see him go down like this. And I'm a little worried about what we're going to see for his replacement. First off, the top replacement right now for him right now, Ezekiel Duran, has had a very decent season. 14 homers, a 120 runs created plus for himself, hitting 281, 326, 482. So honestly, not bad for him. I don't know how much I believe in his ability to keep that up, but it's very possible that he could easily step in as the replacement guy for Jung. And if he is able to step in at third base, and fill in that hole, that would be fantastic. You know, we'll see. Josh Smith is the other guy that could easily step in. He's not done as well as Duran has. He's hitting 214, 344, 349. Obviously a very good on base percentage, which is because of an 11.1 walk percentage for Smith. You know, I like that. So we'll see, you know. Smith is doing okay. It's a 101 runs created plus. I think he'll be passable enough. This is still a very good Rangers lineup. It's just gonna suck without freaking Jung. It's without his power in the lineup, it's just gonna be definitely a missing piece, especially with the injuries that they've been dealing with lately. Seager dealing with his injuries, it's just not great, you know. Not great. So we'll see if they can get Jung back. I mean, so the thing with Jung is that if he needs surgery, it's going to take him out for the rest of the season, and then he might be able to come back for the postseason. So, I mean, not terrible, but just sucks. It sucks because they're really going to need the best performance possible to really finish out this season well. They're 2.5 games up of the Astros, and it just feels like any day now, Astros are really going to make that push to finish above them. And the Mariners are also doing extremely well as well. 536 win percentage for them. We'll see. I still believe the Rangers are a really good team, even without Jung. But even so, we'll see. We'll see. He's kind of been one of the best hitters. Padres are shutting down Joe Musgrove for at least three weeks because of an MRI that showed inflammation in his throwing shoulder. Not great. Pretty rough. Musgrove has been their second best pitcher on the team. 97 and a third innings pitched for him this season, a 3.05 ERA. He's just been one of their best pitchers. He's always been fantastic, and it just sucks to see him go down like this. And I'm a little worried that this might be the last we see of Musgrove this season. Obviously, the Padres aren't really in the playoff hunt. 55 and 57 right now, record-wise. They are 10 games back of the division. They are 6 games back of the Giants in second place. I don't know if I really believe in the team right now. And it just sucks to lose Musgrove. I mean, it sucks for baseball. You know, I love Musgrove. I think he's fantastic. He's one of the best pitchers out there. So freaking consistent. You look at guys that struggle so much, that have struggled so much in terms of like aces, Scherzer, Verlander, Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber struggled a little bit. So many guys that have struggled this season, and Musgrove is always there. He's always at the top of his game, and he's just so consistently so good. And it just sucks to see him go down like this. This is going to lead into my first big loser for the trade deadline is the San Diego Padres. They have so many guys that they should have sold, in my opinion. Joe Musgrove's not one of them. They signed him to a long-year deal. He's with the Padres. I'm okay with that. And I think majority of the offense they should have kept in place. I'm okay with that. You're not getting anything for Xander Bogaerts. Manny Machado, you shouldn't trade. Tatis, you should not trade. Juan Soto, you should not trade. And Ha-Seong Kim has been fantastic. You shouldn't trade him. Those are good guys, and those are also, a lot of them are young guys still. Machado is 30. Bogaerts is 30. Not terrible old men yet. They're not past their prime. They can still be quality players. And they still are quality players. Quality enough. Bogaerts has obviously been really disappointing this season, and you could also, Machado has also been fairly disappointing as well. But I still believe in this offense and that it's a good offense, a good enough offense to get the job done. However, this rotation is flooded with guys that should have been traded, and they should have gotten a haul for these guys. Now, obviously, you can't sell if there aren't buyers ready to buy, and I think there are a lot of teams that could have really used their pitching help. The Orioles are probably number one on my list that should have gone after one of these starting pitchers from the Padres. They should have. It's honestly crazy. Blake Snell, having a fantastic season and is a free agent at the end of the season. It's ridiculous at the idea that they did not trade him. They could have gotten an absolute haul for him, and they could have rebounded this team fairly quickly, in my estimation. Blake Snell has been fantastic, and you could argue, oh, wait, you should keep him. You know, maybe you can sign him to a long-term deal. No, I think you should have sold on Snell. The Padres have a terrible farm system. Refuel and trade a lot of these guys. I think Snell should have been traded. I think Michael Wacha should have been traded, who's also a free agent, and Seth Lugo should have been traded as well. All these guys are free agents at the end of the season, and they're going to want a lot of money in this offseason, and it's just going to, you know, there's a lot more pitching also on the market this coming season than there is hitting, so it makes a lot more sense to trade these guys and look elsewhere for pitching, or even try and sign them back. But either way, at least you get something for them, because the Padres are not contending right now, and you should have sold. You should have done a quick retool. Josh Hader as well, also a free agent at the end of the season. Obviously one of the best relievers in the game, if not the best, you could argue. Trade Josh Hader and you get a freaking haul back. And they did nothing. They did not do that. And here we are sitting here just puzzling at the situation the Padres have put themselves in. Obviously, it is totally fine. I was totally cool with their offense, or with this offseason that they had. They really pushed in the chips, going all in, and it has not worked out so far. You need to reshape this roster and reevaluate why you're not winning right now. And I think trading Snell, trading Hader, trading Wacha, Lugo, and you could argue even Nick Martinez as well, all those guys could have gotten you a very, very good return, and they did nothing. They bought a little bit. They bought freaking G-Man Choi and Garrett Cooper. That's who you're buying? A DH platoon? I don't get it. And then you also grab Rich Hill as well. It's just not anything. They got Scott Barlow. Scott Barlow's good, I guess. Throw him in the bullpen. He's good. He's also controllable till 2025. Obviously a terrible ERA for Barlow, 5.71, but 3.53 fielding independent pitching, very good K percentage, 26.6 over 41 innings. Obviously he's got a walk problem, which is not great. He's also been fairly unlucky this season, a 3.51 BABIP for himself, and also very unlucky with the left on base percentage. I really like that deal. I really like grabbing Scott Barlow, but my gosh, dude, what are we doing here? You got to sell. You have to sell. And here we are. They did nothing. Nothing of note. I like Barlow. Cooper and Choi are fine. But if those are your moves, what are we doing? I'm sorry. Either you got to buy more or you got to sell more. And for me, I think the smartest decision they could have made was to sell. You need to sell there. You have to. Biggest loser. One of the biggest losers for me, San Diego Padres. Next up on the docket, Boston Red Sox. Obviously, you might know I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. Did I want to see them buy the trade deadline? Absolutely. When I did not see them buy, when I saw them grab Luis Urias, infield depth, which is nice, and that's what we needed. We did need an infielder, and obviously we're getting back Trevor Story today when you're listening to this, Tuesday. But my goodness. Yeah, it's just – ugh. They should have sold. If you're not going to buy, you got to sell Duvall, and I would look into trading Paxton as well. Now, I want good returns on those guys. I want some good returns, but also they're free agents at the end of the season. So now the good return is the hope that you make the playoffs, unless you're going to re-sign them or sign them to an extension. But I just don't think they're going to do that with either player. And I think it's just going to be really disappointing. It's going to be really disappointing. Both guys are going to walk. Red Sox won't make the playoffs. And here we are sitting with nothing in our hands. Bloom, I need to see you more active. Whether you're buying or whether you're selling. If you're going to buy, you got to buy more. We got to do more because, my goodness, the rotation needed help and there were pitchers out on the market. That's majority of what got traded. It's mainly the hitters that didn't get traded. Think about the addition that Duvall would have looked like on the Marlins instead of a guy like Jake Berger. Like, it would have been huge for them. I think the Marlins would have been willing to give up a pretty good haul for Adam Duvall. Rhymed. Paxton is doing fantastic as well. The injury risk that he has, I don't even want to sign him to a long-term deal. Trade him. Get something back in return. If you don't think you're making a run, then you got to reset. You got to reset. And because they didn't sell, if they sold, I would have thought they had a better trade deadline. Obviously, I don't know what the returns would have been. I'm not a prospect fiend, but I think it would have put the Red Sox in a better position overall as a team. Duvall, Paxton, I like Verdugo. I want to see him stay. I really like him. I want to see him stay and hopefully succeed at some point with the Red Sox. I don't think he's got like another level to unlock, but I think he could have a really good season coming up, and I just don't want to see him do it on another team. I want to see them do it on the Red Sox. So that's what I would say for the Red Sox. Should have sold. Next up, the New York Yankees. New York Yankees are also in a pretty bad situation, considerable to the Red Sox. Right now, they are half a game above the Red Sox, 58-54. They're still a good team, obviously. But every time Aaron Judge gets injured, this offense has nothing to show for it. And I don't think you're in a position to buy, even though they tried to. They grabbed Kenyon Middleton, who's a great reliever, and I think he's a good addition to the Yankees. But my goodness, what else do you have? You got nothing. And I know not a lot of hitters were traded, so it's hard to point the fingers at them and go, you should have traded for more hitters, because that's what they really needed. But my goodness, get something if you're going to buy. And if you're not going to buy, you got to start selling, man, because my goodness, this team is not in a good position whatsoever. And whatever value you can get for guys like Bader, but also at the same time, they don't have a lot to sell. So I don't even know what they would have done. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just think they kind of screwed themselves a little bit, did the bare minimum move in Kenyon Middleton, and then that's it. Can't be all you do. You got to make a decision with this roster. You can't just sit still. They're just sitting in one place waiting for something to happen, I guess. I don't know, man. It's rough. I think they should have also very frustrating. I think they should have decided and gone for it. Whether that means buying or selling, you got to make a decision. You can't just tread water. cannot just tread water. That's exactly what the Red Sox and exactly what the Yankees did. Ridiculous. Finally, my biggest loser of the trade deadline is the Milwaukee Brewers, the division leading Milwaukee Brewers. What did they do? They added Andrew Chafin, who is fine. He's fine. They added Andrew Chafin, a little lefty out of the bullpen. Okay, fair enough. Mark Canha of the Mets. I would have preferred Tommy Pham, personally. He's been much better this season. I know Canha still has that prototypical walk percentage, but he can't do much else. Interesting. And Carlos Santana of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Also, pretty meh on the whole thing. Now, once again, it's another similar situation to the Yankees in terms of it's hard to tell them you need to go trade for more bats because it's hard to say that because not a lot of bats got traded. I mean, not a lot of moves got done. I think Adam Duvall would have been a great addition to the Brewers. Throw him out in right field, cover up that hole. The other big hole on the Brewers is third base. Brian Anderson has been pretty bad. 339 plate appearances. He's hitting 226, 316, 368. Good for a 88 runs created plus and a 0.6 F war. It's just not what you're looking for at third base. So, you know, what do you do if you're the Brewers? Well, you're the division leaders, and now you've got the Cubs coming up on your tail. The Cubs are now a game and a half back of the Brewers, and here we are looking at just sitting there watching as the Cubs go out and grab the best third baseman available in Jaimer Candelario. Now, I don't know what the Brewers were trying to do, but all I see is that the Cubs went out and got the best third baseman out there, and the Brewers are sitting there twiddling their thumbs. I mean, they grabbed Carlos Santana, which is good. First base is a very much a weak option for them. But my goodness, you can't go out and get Candelario. Like, huge for the Cubs. I was really calling for the Cubs to sell. I was wrong. I'm going to say that right now. I was wrong. They have the best run differential in the division. Plus 75, and they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. Brewers are 3-7. Brewers look like they're about to fumble this division so terribly. At this point, it would almost be a little surprising if the Brewers still won the division and got into the playoffs. I'd be kind of surprised at this point because the Cubs are surging right now. And I don't know, Brewers. Why aren't you buying more? Carl Santana is the best first base option you can get. Like, I'm sorry, man, but this is just not enough for the division leader who's battling for first place at this point. They were sitting pretty for this entire season, and the Cubs have just been slowly climbing. I mean, so the Brewers haven't been sitting pretty. The Reds have been pushing on them. But my goodness, you got to do more than this, man. You got to give me more. Got to give me more than Carlos Santana at first base. I mean, he's fine, and he's definitely an upgrade over Rowdy Tellez, who's just been terrible this season. But Santana's hitting 230, 313, 406 on the season, a 95 runs created plus. I mean, it's not great. It's really not great, and I don't know what you're looking for in adding him. He's better than, like I said, better than Rowdy Tellez, but that's also just kind of the bare minimum right now. Rowdy Tellez has just been absolutely horrible. And let's see how Carlos did against lefties. I mean, he's doing well enough against lefties. 701 OPS, walking like crazy, 13.2 walk percentage versus lefties, which is very nice. But a 94 runs created plus, like, honestly, a little bit worse, just a touch worse against lefties. I mean, it's just not great, man. Not great at all. I don't know what the Brewers are doing or not doing. Canha's the worst option. the worse option compared to Tommy Pham, who did get traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So even for the hitters that did get traded, you're still sitting here going, what the heck? Why are we just sitting watching people go get hitters? And we're just sitting here in first place going, yeah, we'll be fine. You know what? You know what, Cubs? You can have Candelario. We don't need him. We really believe in Brian Anderson. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I really feel bad for Brewers fans for being in first place. It's just a really disappointing showing at this trade deadline. And a lot of these teams are the main reasons why this was such a bleh trade deadline. I think if the Padres turn themselves into sellers for this trade deadline, this instantly becomes so much more exciting. If the Red Sox sold just Adam Duvall, this would have made either the Marlins or the Brewers much better, I think, and that would have made it more exciting. But yeah, if the Yankees did something, if they decided a position, we know the Yankees really are fairly aggressive when they're ready to do whatever they want to, whether that's sell or buy, and they did neither. I can't stand treading water, and that's what majority of these teams did when they should have done something. Brewers should have bought. Padres should have sold. Oh my gosh, Padres. You had so many guys that are such obvious sells that would have brought in hauls of prospects, hauls of guys that would have really reshaped your future and still kept the team afloat and in the conversation for contention next year, and you flubbed it. You did nothing. Yeah, it's tough, man. Biggest losers of the offseason, sorry, of the trade deadline. I didn't do winners, mainly because they're just kind of obvious options. I think the Mets did well with the prospects. I think the Rangers did well with grabbing one of the best some of the best pitchers out there. I think the Astros did great, obviously grabbing Justin Verlander. I just think not many winners for the trade deadline personally, and it's just kind of meh. Even the Cubs, who I was calling to sell, and then they decided to buy, and they're looking much better right now. I mean, just getting Jaime Candelario is probably not enough. It's probably not enough to make a lot of noise in the postseason, but it is making you look a lot better in terms of this division, because I just don't think the Brewers are putting up the fight that they need to, and been just very disappointing. Very disappointing. Even like a team like Diamondbacks, go get Paul Sewald and then not much else. Marlins make a couple moves, but nothing that's really pushing the envelope. Yeah, I don't know, man. A little bit of a disappointing trade deadline for me. A lot of small moves, just not a lot of big moves. And you got teams like the Padres who are just feel like they're in denial. Absolutely in denial. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. I appreciate it. Leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I greatly appreciate it. Tell me what you like about the show. And, you know, if you got stuff that you think I need to improve on, just hit me in the DMs on Twitter. And, yeah, we'll just keep that between us. Don't need to mention that review in your review. So, yeah, just 5 stars. Get out of there. I greatly appreciate it, guys. I'll see you back next Tuesday, hopefully posting every single Tuesday. I know I didn't last week because of the trade deadline. Hopefully every single Tuesday going forward. Thanks for listening, guys. All right, have a good one.